What? What's this? What?
He's really good at science.
Science!
And also at biology.
I'm ever so thrilled to be here.
He'll answer all your questions.
Yes, Dr. Carl for Science Wednesdays. Good evening, Dr. Carl.
Good evening, Dr. Danny. Lovely to be with you again.
Well, I want to chat eggs. Why do eggs sometimes turn a little grey when you boil them, but no such coloration when poaching, frying, or making a salmon, spinach, and chili omelette?
Don't know. Often wonder. I suspect that it's the sulfur going through a chemical reaction, but really you would need a food chemist to give you a proper answer on that.
It's got to be something to do with the shell and the whiteness of the yolk.
The colour of the shell depends upon the colour of the chicken. And so darker coloured chickens tend to give darker coloured eggs. And almost certainly the whole process is related by one of my favourite chemicals called melanin, M-E-L-A-N-I-N.
I didn't know that the darkness of the egg was correlating with the darkness of the chicken.
And I think there's an American chicken that gives a sort of a reddish brownish, maybe a Rhode Island red or something like that going into memory banks. Could be wrong on that.
Shotgun a Rhode Island red egg. I like the darker ones better. The white ones just don't sit right with me. I think the yolks don't seem to be as buttery.
Buttery? Oh, I love it the way your little hints that you're such a gourmet.
I am an egg man. There's not much I know about, but I do know a lot about eggs. I start my day every morning with them. Let's chat more eggs, this time a different style of egg. How does a human sperm know to fertilize an egg when it doesn't even have a brain yet?
It's following genetic programs. The size of the sperm is so much smaller than the size of the egg. Now, I remember getting a lecture on this, and I seem to remember it's something to do with chemicals released from the egg, which are in a very high percentage right close to the egg, and then less further away. So let's imagine ourselves looking like the letter P, the female reproductive tract. So the sperm enter, and go past the uterus. They go past the uterus, and then they chuck a lefty and a righty, heading down the fallopian tubes, named after an Italian professor of the 1600s, who probably invented and did the first scientific experiment with condoms, where he made some condoms out of sheep gut, and then got men to have sex with women who did or did not have syphilis, and then found that the condoms provide protection, and try getting that past a university ethics committee today.
Isn't that the lambskin condom that's still available today online? You can buy lambskin condoms, but I thought they don't protect from certain STIs.
Don't know. You know more than I do about that. Anyway, so the egg has been released by the ovary and is caught up by the little floaty things on the end of the fallopian tube, and is actually sitting inside the fallopian tube when the sperm, following the process we call chemotaxis, they're programmed to go towards this smell or chemical is the highest, and they go through the uterus and then think left or right, whoops, smell is stronger off to the right, so they head down the right fallopian tube, then they meet up. And as soon as the first sperm has penetrated, an electrical field changes, and then suddenly the other sperm are repelled. So usually only one sperm gets to love the egg very much in a special way.
Back off, other sperm. This is my ovum now, closed for business. We're about to make a baby. Hey, when you see vape clouds, you know, you see people vaping and they'll blow out like a big vape flume, or like someone's smoking a cigarette and they just bellows out like from someone's mouth exhalation. Is the same thing happening with other people's normal breaths? We just can't see it.
Correctamundo.
Oh, no!
Exactly. You breathe it out, and that's how far it goes. And yes, wear a mask, it works.
That's just so gross to think how much breath is. There's just people's breath all over me, all the time. Every time you walk down the street, thousands of breaths.
But look at it this way. We're all loving each other and spreading the love and the viruses and the germs. And with a bit of luck, they'll be all good germs, and we'll all get better.
Nah, I only want my breath and germs, please. I only want mine. Let me ask you this. Are there any differences between male and female scalp hair? Because I swear there's way more dudes with big curly afros compared to the girls.
It's interesting. Are you familiar with the lock and key theory of pharmacology?
No.
Yes or no is fine.
No.
Okay. So you know how with a regular key and a lock, nothing happens until you put the exact correct key into the lock, and then the bolt will turn, and then various things can happen after that. This is one of the fundamental principles of pharmacology, which is the science of drugs, that you've got roughly 37 trillion receptors, sorry, 37 trillion cells in your body as a result of your parents loving each other very much in a special way your age plus 9 months ago.
Hello.
And each of these cells has got hundreds of different receptors. And different drugs will act on different cells. So they'll come up to the receptor, they'll look at the receptor, they won't fit in, they can't act on it at all. So these chemicals, the keys, will only respond exactly to the right receptors. And then the reaction goes ahead. In the case of hair, it turns out you've got 100,000 hairs on your scalp. Each of these is generated by a little factory called a hair follicle, and there are many different types of cells in that hair follicle, and they respond to both estrogen and testosterone, and different testosterone receptors. And as you get older, you change the mix of the testosterones that you make, and the receptors themselves change. And if there's a mismatch, mate, you're heading like me for baldness.
Uh-oh, no, don't like that. Speaking of estrogen, I used to take a supplement called Estroblock. Turns out that I was producing quite a lot of estrogen, which explains the visceral layer of fat around my breast tissue.
Well, you learn something every day.
Let me swing to this branch. Is a smart kindergarten kid much more likely to be intelligent later in life than a not-so-smart kindergarten kid? Is it a pretty good indication early on? And obviously, people can study hard and they can change their own destiny through pure effort and willpower. But do we see like a correlation? If you're pretty smart as a five-year-old, you could be pretty much guaranteed you're going to be a smart 20-year-old.
Yes and no, because IQ is not a fixed thing like the number of fingers, but it's something that can vary with your environment. So if you measure IQ by doing IQ tests, which is the best way we got, but it's not perfect, and then you have identical twins, and one of the twins leads a very deprived life, badly treated, blah, 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 they end up measuring on an IQ test a lower score. So spinning the wheels refers to people who have got a lot of potential, they can't do anything with it. They're just wasting their horsepower. And there can be many reasons. They could be rude, or they could be shy, or who knows what.
I think we all know one or two people out there haven't let their blossoms fully bloom. Oh, it's a terrible world. If you drank a COVID vaccine vial, would you get sick? And what would it taste like?
It's optimized to work by a tiny amount of it being injected into the muscle, and then various things happen there. The volume is not that much, it's less than a mil. So I'm guessing that on average, you could swallow it into your mouth, no worries. And then it would go down your esophagus, no worries. And in the stomach, the extreme acidity may very well break it down and destroy it. And in fact, while there are vaccines that you can take just by swallowing them, it turns out that you have to go to a lot of trouble to make that happen. Some of the polio vaccines were like that. And we're now moving, with all this thinking about vaccines, into vaccines that work directly where the center of action is, in the lungs, not by injecting it into your muscle, then yada, 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 ends up in your lungs, but rather vaccines that you breathe in via a spray. So that is something that's happening. So swallowing a vaccine, I guess in most cases, I don't know for sure, but the acidity of the stomach would destroy it, I guess, probably, maybe.
Yeah, definitely, maybe. And what would it taste like? Chemically? Salty? Sour?
There's not much of it. It's only a mil or so, or half a mil. So it would depend on the individual vaccine, because there's so many different vaccines around.
Well, good. Don't go drinking any vaccines. No need for anyone out there to go and test this hypothesis. Dr. Carr's little book of climate change science is available in all good bookstores now. Thank you, Dr. Carr. We will chat to you. Well, I won't chat to you next Science Wednesdays because I'm on holidays. Well-deserved rest for the big dog. But a week after that, if you'd be happy to come back, I'd be happy to have you.
Oh, you're too kind. Look, I do hope you have a lovely holiday and can go somewhere exotic like the end of the street and turn right.
Wow. Yeah, chance would be a fine thing in this day and age. Thank you, Dr. Carr.
Thank you, Dr. Danny.